Okay, so today we're diving into a case that's really important for understanding how disability law works in the workplace.
Definitely a landmark case.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Severson v. Heartland Woodcraft, Inc. And, you know, for anyone in law, especially future legal professionals, this case is crucial.
For sure. It clarifies some really tricky questions about the ADA, that's the Americans with Disabilities Act, and what it actually requires employers to do when it comes to reasonable accommodations.
Right. And the big question here is, does the ADA actually require employers to provide long-term medical leave as part of those reasonable accommodations?
That's the core of it. And the answer gets pretty complicated. It's not a simple yes or no.
Not at all.
Yeah.
We'll get into the specifics of the case, the court's reasoning, and what it means for both employers and employees.
It's definitely a case with some big implications.
All right. So let's start with the basics. Severson v. Heartland Woodcraft, decided in 2017 by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals.
The Seventh Circuit covers a bunch of Midwestern states, just for context.
Right. And in this case, we have Raymond Severson, our plaintiff, suing his former employer, Heartland Woodcraft.
Heartland makes retail display fixtures, so it's pretty physical work.
Exactly. And at the heart of the case is this question about the ADA and whether it mandates employers to grant extended medical leave as a form of reasonable accommodation.
Right. And this really gets into the whole purpose of the ADA, which is to prevent discrimination against people with disabilities and guarantee them equal opportunities in the workplace.
So to understand the legal arguments, we need to look at Raymond Severson's specific situation. He worked at Heartland Woodcraft, and his job was very physically demanding.
We're talking lifting over 50 pounds on a regular basis.
Yeah, so not an easy job. Now, Severson already had a history of back problems. He'd been diagnosed with back myelopathy before this all started.
And that's really important to remember, because it means he was already more susceptible to injury, especially given the nature of his work.
Absolutely. It wasn't like this was a brand new issue. It was an existing condition that got worse because of his job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that context really matters when we look at his request for accommodation later on.
So in June 2013, Severson's back condition flares up. It was aggravated by his work, and he has to take a 12-week medical leave under the Family and Medical Leave Act, the FMLA.
The FMLA is a federal law that protects employees' jobs when they need to take time off for serious health conditions.
Right, but there's a limit to that protection. It's only for 12 weeks. And that's where the problem arises in this case, because near the end of Severson's FMLA leave, he finds out he needs back surgery.
And that surgery is going to require an additional 2 to 3 months of recovery time.
So he's already used up his 12 weeks under the FMLA, and now he needs even more time to recover.
This is a perfect example of how the FMLA, while incredibly important, has its limitations. When someone needs more than 12 weeks, the FMLA doesn't really cover them.
And that's exactly what Severson argued. He said the ADA should kick in and provide him with that extra time he needed.
He basically asked Heartland for an extension of his leave, those extra 2 to 3 months for the surgery and recovery.
But Heartland denied that request.
And they terminated his employment when his FMLA leave ran out.
They did say he could reapply once he was medically cleared to work again. But at that point, he was out of a job.
This part is really interesting because Heartland wasn't saying, we'll never hire you back.
Mm.
They were just saying that they couldn't extend his leave beyond what the FMLA required.
Right. They were drawing a line in the sand.
And from their perspective, they probably felt like they were following the law as it was written.
But Severson felt differently. He believed that the ADA required them to grant him that extra leave as a reasonable accommodation.
So ultimately, Severson goes ahead, has his surgery, and eventually gets cleared by his doctor to return to work without any restrictions.
But instead of reapplying at Heartland, he decides to sue them.
He argues that they violated the ADA by failing to accommodate his disability.
So let's get into what specific accommodations Severson proposed. He actually suggested 3 different options.
First, he asked for a 2 to 3 month extension of his medical leave to cover his surgery and recovery.
That was the most straightforward request.
Second, he suggested a transfer to a vacant position within the company. Maybe there was another job that wasn't as physically demanding.
And third, he proposed a temporary light duty position that wouldn't require him to lift heavy things until he was fully recovered.
So he was trying to give them some options.
Now let's talk about the legal principles involved here.
Yeah.
The ADA protects qualified individuals with disabilities. So what does that actually mean?
A qualified individual, under the ADA, is someone who can perform the essential functions of their job, either with or without reasonable accommodation.
And essential functions, those are the core duties of the job, the things that the job absolutely requires.
Exactly. In Severson's case, lifting over 50 pounds regularly was definitely an essential function of his job.
So the key here is with or without reasonable accommodation. That's where the employer's obligation comes in. They have to make adjustments to help the person do their job.
And those adjustments have to be reasonable, which is where things get tricky.
What's reasonable for one employer or one job might not be reasonable for another.
It's very case specific.
Now, the ADA is all about preventing discrimination and ensuring that people with disabilities have equal opportunities to work.
And reasonable accommodations can be all sorts of things. Changes to the work environment, modifications to the job itself, providing assistive technologies.
It's really about making it possible for someone with a disability to do their job effectively.
And that contrasts with the FMLA, which is about providing time off for specific reasons.
Right. The FMLA doesn't care whether you can do your job during that leave. It's about giving you time to recover or deal with the family situation.
And the FMLA has a specific limit, 12 weeks. That's it.
Yeah.
So there's this tension between the ADA, which is about working, and the FMLA, which is about taking time off.
And the question in this case is, where do you draw the line? When does leave become so long that it's no longer a reasonable accommodation under the ADA?
Right. And the EOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, had previously said that the length of leave shouldn't automatically disqualify it from being a reasonable accommodation.
They basically said as long as the leave will ultimately allow the employee to come back and do their job, it could be a reasonable accommodation even if it's longer than 12 weeks.
But the Seventh Circuit pushed back on that in this case.
Yeah. They sided with Heartland Woodcraft and said that the ADA is not a medical leave entitlement.
That's a pretty significant statement from the court.
Yeah.
It's basically saying the ADA is not designed to give people extended time off work.
Judge Sykes, who wrote the majority opinion, was very clear about that.
She said reasonable accommodations are supposed to help someone work, not excuse them from working entirely.
And the court really focused on the fact that Severson's request was for several months of leave. That's not just a short absence.
They basically said that kind of extended leave doesn't help someone perform their job functions. It just means they're not working for a long time.
And they had that really memorable line, not working is not a means to perform the job's essential functions.
That sums up their whole argument.
They are basically saying that if you're not working, you're not doing your job. And the ADA is about making it possible for people to do their jobs.
And the court specifically rejected the EEOC's view on the length of leave. They called it an open-ended extension of the FMLA.
They were worried that if any length of leave could be a reasonable accommodation under the ADA, it would essentially undermine the FMLA and create this huge undefined leave entitlement.
They didn't think that was what Congress intended when they passed the ADA.
Okay, so we've talked about the extended leave request. What about Severson's other suggestions, transferring to a vacant position or getting a temporary light duty assignment?
Well, the court said that Severson hadn't actually shown that there were any suitable vacant positions available at Heartland when he was fired.
So he couldn't just say, transfer me. He had to prove that there were other jobs he could do.
And the burden of proof is on the employee in that situation.
As for the light duty position, the court basically said employers aren't required to create new jobs or eliminate essential functions of a job as a reasonable accommodation.
The ADA is about accommodating someone in their existing job, not changing the job completely.
So this case is really important for a few reasons. First, it clarifies the difference between the ADA and the FMLA.
It makes it clear that the ADA is primarily about helping people work, not giving them time off.
And it reinforces the idea that employers generally aren't required to provide unlimited or indefinite leave as a reasonable accommodation.
The FMLA is there for that specific purpose.
And this case has some pretty big practical implications for both employees and employers.
For employees, it means they need to understand the limitations of the ADA when it comes to long-term leave.
They might need to look at other options like short-term disability or state leave laws.
And for employers, it provides some guidance on how to handle these kinds of requests.
It gives them some legal backing for saying no to extended leave requests that go beyond the FMLA.
But it's also important to note some of the nuances here. The Severson decision doesn't mean that short-term leave can never be a reasonable accommodation under the ADA.
Right. The court specifically mentioned that intermittent time off or short leaves could still be considered accommodations in certain situations.
Like if someone needs to go to regular doctor's appointments or take a few days to recover after a medical procedure?
That kind of leave might be more analogous to other recognized accommodations like modified work schedules.
Exactly. It's all about what's reasonable in the specific circumstances.
And another important point from this case is that the employee has to prove that there are suitable vacant positions available if they're requesting a transfer as an accommodation.
It's not enough to just say, I want to be transferred, they have to show that there are open jobs they could actually do.
And the employer isn't obligated to create a new position for them.
It has to be a job that already exists.
Finally, it's worth thinking about the bigger picture here. This case reflects a bit of a tension between employee rights and employer flexibility.
The court's decision arguably leans more towards protecting employers in this case by limiting their obligations under the ADA.
It sets a pretty clear boundary for how far employers have to go when it comes to leave requests.
And it leaves some questions about what happens to employees who need more than 12 weeks of leave and can't get it under the ADA.
So for you, future legal eagles, Severson v. Heartland Woodcraft is a crucial case to understand. It shows the limits of the ADA when it comes to medical leave and highlights the importance of knowing both the ADA and the FMLA inside and out.
It's a reminder that these laws are complex and there are a lot of gray areas.
You can't just assume that the ADA covers everything. It's about ensuring equal opportunity to work, not guaranteeing extended time off.
And it raises a lot of interesting questions about how to balance the needs of employees and employers.
Questions that you'll be grappling with throughout your legal careers.
Definitely food for thought as you continue exploring the world of disability law.
Absolutely. This case gives you a solid foundation for understanding the complexities of workplace accommodations and the challenges that both employees and employers face when dealing with disability issues.
And it shows how important it is to really analyze each case individually and figure out what's reasonable in that specific context.
There's no one-size-fits-all answer when it comes to the ADA.
Exactly. You have to dig into the details and consider all the factors at play.
All right. Well, that's our deep dive into Severson v. Heartland Woodcraft, a landmark case that continues to shape the legal landscape of disability rights and workplace accommodations.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to break down these complex issues.
And for all of you listening out there, keep those legal minds sharp, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.
Until next time.
Take care. Bye.